Well, hello and welcome to another episode of SaaS Marketing Makeover. I am pumped, excited, blessed to be joined today by Alan, and I made the cardinal sin of interviews. Okay, so I'm going to go for it, and you just let me know how close I am. Alan Yeselvich.
I think you hit it, man. You nailed it. Congrats. Doesn't happen often.
My last name's Mergut, so it's a special art when you're genuinely this bad with names. So thank you. Welcome to the show, man. How are you doing?
Good. Happy to be here. Thanks for the invite. Looking forward to it.
Well, we are happy to have you. You obviously lead growth at Excelvents. We're excited to have you here. Now, the wheel. You and I both don't know who's on the wheel yet. Are you ready to see who's on it?
No. Just kidding. Let's do it.
All right. Ryan, why don't you pull that wheel up for us? Oh. Anyone you want? Who do you want?
Sprinkler, let's do this.
All right. So you know, I gotta remember how to spell.
It's funny. All the companies, all the brands you had listed there probably spend hundreds of thousands of dollars a year on perfecting their messaging and conversion rate optimization. We're just gonna tear it down in 25 minutes. Let's do it.
Oh yeah, man. Now the hardest part of this is, like you're saying, it's not exactly easy to find these opportunities out of thin air. So we're gonna have to do that right now. Now I just got a new MacBook, so let me make sure my screen share is working. All right. We're good. All right. So customer experience management platform, CXM, the only platform for all digital customer experiences. What does digital customer experiences mean to you as a marketer, Alan?
Yeah, I think from a marketing standpoint, everyone's now trying to capture the entire end-to-end experiences from, you know, if you look at the typical buyer journey for somebody who just goes onto your website initially, all the way through the nurturing process and then following through the digital ecosystem. So they want to own every piece of that.
Yeah. No, I love that. Now, you're focused on going upstream. You know, we were talking about offline.
Yeah.
It looks like they are as well, right? Every day, thousands of the world's largest enterprises. So they're specifically calling out enterprise organizations. In your experience, is it easy to sell a customer experience platform without niching into like e-commerce or something else? Do you need to niche? Can you just be generic like this? Like, what's your take on that?
Yeah, it probably makes the most sense to go niche, go narrow, go targeted with respect to your messaging. Once you can identify what that product market fit, that persona fit is, I feel like you have to go all in and then you can begin to spray your approach a little bit. But I feel like you have to have that focused, concentrated approach, or it's just going to be scattershot and you're not going to resonate with the majority of people who visit your site.
Yeah. So I'm like in my own head, right? Like I like to think like we got a lot of publicly traded clients and I'm trying to think how this fits. So who owns this? Who owns this like product? Like was this, because I don't think this is director of demand gen. Like who's the person who owns this perspective in your opinion?
Yeah. So from my knowledge of Sprinklr from back in the day, it used to be the social media lead, but now it seems like they've evolved their scope. So it could be most likely it's the head of digital, VP of digital that probably owns this, maybe with some support from content as well.
Yeah. I'm trying to look at it. I'm trying to understand it. So I'm obviously not their customer, but I'm trying to get this. So what they're saying is they have all their communication, right? So these are all their ways of communicating.
Right. It depends on how the org is structured. I mean, this could fall into paid media, social media, possibly even PR, some components of it. So if I had to think about an overarching umbrella, it could be content, possibly demand gen, most likely not.
Yeah, most likely not. I agree. It seems more like a brand, someone with like a brand title, right? A customer, like a communications, like chief communications officer, to me, was probably this persona, if I had to guess, is like the person who owns this. Now, what have you found about selling products to a buyer who's spread out across multiple, like this buyer, right, has to get buy-in? Because if they're talking about advertising and research and marketing and care and engagement, what's it like trying to sell a software to someone who has that many different business units? Like, what are some of the things we got to do right?
Yeah, no, that's a great question, especially in our space, which is event tech. You know, we have our core buyer personas mapped out, but then we also have our influencers and even our detractors in the equation. So why we lead in with our core buyers and the messaging that resonates with them and trying to figure out how to solve for their challenges. We also throw in other supporting ancillary complementary content so that they can take that information and then go to their CFO or go to their procurement and then try to convince them as an advocate about why it makes sense from a purchasing decision standpoint.
I love that. Like, this is cool, right? More than 75% or 75 of the world's 100 most valuable brands use Sprinklr. That's a pretty compelling statement when you have that much market share, right?
No, that's great. You know, the social proof here is amazing. Clearly, they're focusing on the enterprise customer by slapping those logos up on their website. They're sending a clear message that an SMB or startup may not afford them. So they're taking that risk and they're being mindful of going up market.
I like that. Now, let me play devil's advocate though. So I just have this concept, right? So I'm the chief revenue officer at Sprinklr. And I've gone all in on my enterprise positioning, but I already have 75% market share on my elite audience. Does this create a problem for mid-market, or have you found that mid-market companies are aspirational? And so what I mean by that is, like, I'm a insurance startup. Like, I'm the agency of record for Allstate, right? So we do all the SEO for Allstate, okay? Great account, great company, really love them as an organization. But do you believe that mid-market insurance companies are aspirational so that they see Allstate has it and they want the same platform Allstate has? Or do you see that enterprise removes you from a market? Like, what's your take on that, like going all in on this high level of positioning?
Yeah, and it's nuanced and every situation is different. Certainly, you can have a mid-market business who's aspirational and willing to pay a premium to play in the big leagues. But at the end of the day, you're going to have to justify your ROI, and there are probably some competitors in the space that offer the same type of value, but they don't position themselves as quote unquote elite. So as part of the evaluation, you know, you would look at the pricing, you would look at the services and the features and how they're outlined, and then just take a look at the case studies to see if there are any kind of relevant type of companies and what the results were. So inherently there's a risk, but I'm sure there's a calculus that was made for them to go all in on upmarket and probably make sense for them from a revenue standpoint.
I love that. And look at like this kind of stuff, right? I mean, this, they have all the goodies, right? For enterprise, they have all the goodies, which means like, this is the stuff you give your SDR team, your AE team, and this is what's going to push close rate, right? At the end of the day.
I'm telling you, like Gartner, Forrester, G2, SourceForge, like, these companies make a huge difference in the buying decision process. And over the last couple of years, I just feel like these review sites have been integral in evaluating and providing or justifying buying decisions like I've never seen before.
No, 100%. So like, here's a little insight, right? So across millions of dollars of spend, our number one, we track our call to actions, and our highest performing call to actions are essentially Gartner and Forrester. Like, this wins. Anything top of funnel that's a little like non-demo or trial related, this is our number one performer across every industry, are these third-party review site analysts.
Yeah, and what we found, to be specific with G2 and Capterra, I mean, they drive so many leads to us and they're typically bottom of the funnel. So this is after a prospect has done their own research and their own due diligence, and they're typically higher value customers as well.
No, 100%. I call it the 3-tab test, right? So if someone has bottom of funnel intent and they search for the category you're in, modified by reviews, best or top, those are the review sites. And when they open 3 tabs, are you one of those 3 tabs? And if they did, will you win? And what I find interesting about this, I want your perspective on, is while they're doing all these things right, and I like what they're doing, I can't help but feel that the way they're positioning this thing makes it come across as all or nothing, and there can't be that many buyers that are all or nothing. Does that make sense?
It does. And to be honest with you, I'm not familiar with Sprinklr's complete solution set, so it would take me some time to look into this. But you know, I think a company that does what you're referring to really well is HubSpot, where They can offer you the entire holistic package, which seems to be growing year by year, or you can just purchase it in chunks and then get a taste of it And as you begin to become more familiar and comfortable with the platform, and then you start to invest in the ecosystem. And most companies start with the free CRM or minimal content and contacts. And after a period of time, you're investing in the sales hub, marketing hub, service hub, right? You know, an all or nothing approach probably mitigates for customer acquisition optimization.
100%. So when I'm looking at this, right, if you think about modern sales orgs, it's land and expand, yet some modern product and marketing orgs fight that. And what I find curious here is, and what I would want to know, and what I don't necessarily get, is how do they use product-led growth? Because this is probably to me, the very first thing I would do if I was a redo the creative here is I would make this a video. Because this is very difficult for me to consume, in all transparency. Like, they use a lot of their own language, modern. Like, what's modern care? Like, to be completely transparent, I don't think anyone knows what modern care means. So it's very hard to ask myself, hey, here's the problem I have. How does this solve it? You get what I'm saying?
No, I totally agree. It looks completely abstract when you look at it, especially if you're not familiar with the space, and I'm not specifically familiar with what they're offering. It comes across as a slide in some consulting 101 template versus actually, you know, having a person or a CX person on screen explaining the value of it. And maybe they do that in another area.
Okay, so they do a good job here, right? So they got demos for all of these that are ungated. I mean, I'm not going to lie, that's pretty good. But let me show you something I've seen, right? So this is what I think. Even if you're Sprinklr and you can't, because notice, well, this is loading. Notice there's no pricing, right? So this immediately tells me you can't go mid-market. You're going to have way too high of a customer acquisition cost. You're going to be inflated, especially as you push down your org across sales, product, and the rest of them. And if you already have 75, like, as a guy who's tried to go enterprise and I have some enterprise accounts, like, this is a tough game. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you ride a wave in this game. In other words, you get the big ones in, your gross margin is good. You feel like you're king of the world. Your EBITDA gets fat. You lose one, you got to do layoffs. Because it's not like you get Capital One and you're not bloated on your CS team, right? It's not like you close Samsung and servicing it is a walk in the park. Or onboarding it, the cost of onboarding these customers. I just feel so concerned if I were them that we're leaving so much money on the table as this massive market leader with this like all enterprise positioning.
Yeah, I agree with you. It seems to me like they lack in diversification. I'd be interested to see how the breadth of revenue per customer is distributed. You know, in other words, are they putting all their eggs in one basket, or can they withstand one major client dropping off? And that inherently is a risk of going enterprise.
No, 1,000%. They're doing a lot of things I find innovative, which we'll talk about in a second. But like, what about if they did something like I'm seeing here with Pendo, right? So Pendo creates this like tour instance, right? With like the Acme data, fake data upload. Mm-hmm. To me, if you replaced this right here with this.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, your SDRs are like loving you, right? As the demand gen team, because they're having conversations that are specific to the product. The prospect has gone through the slight amount of self-education that you see better activation from, you know, discovery call to proposal to ROI to whatever that is, right? In their pipeline. I find this type of setup to be powerful compared to this. And they're not against it, which is weird too, right? Like this chat with us, ungated demos. They're doing all these kind of like low psychological friction CTAs, but not high product engagement CTAs.
Right. Well, it also depends on the platform itself. And at Accelevance, we're currently debating, because we have two primary sales cycles. We have the self-starter one, kind of the DIY one, where you could test it out for free and even activate an event for free. And then we have more of the sales enablement or sales supported sales cycle where it requires a book demo. And clearly, you know, we want to do everything in our power from a marketing standpoint to help push them down the funnel before a phone call is made or before they even pull out their credit card to activate it on their own. But at the bottom line is what you alluded to earlier, it's creating that frictionless environment where you can just navigate them, navigate the prospect into a customer in an automated way. And it seems like Pendo is doing a really good job at that.
Well, yeah, because if you can preload the data, a lot of people say, well, we can't do that as our product because it's codependent on uploading your data, which I'm sure Sprinklr is, right? Like Sprinklr is codependent on APIs, right? Across 23 social channels, 11 messaging. In other words, they create a hub for your communication.
Mm-hmm.
But you could just as easily create fake communication and show them what that hub looks like. And I guess my thought is that even an option going into 2022? Is like, is not being product-led an option, especially if you look at their competitors, right? Because this is what caught my eye. I only saw this for a second, but Hootsuite and certain players that allow for that, like, easier self-onboarding.
Yeah, I can't really see the competitors. Can you name the other ones? I'm actually just curious.
Yeah, so I got Hootsuite, Koros, Clarabridge, Salesforce, Social Bakers, which is probably very self-onboarding, Falcon.io. And Facelift. So,
got it.
You know, I don't know. In my mind, I see this. Oh, and I can't click in. Okay, I'd like them to let me click in. I think that would be very important.
I don't know why, but I'm feeling frustrated right now.
Right?
Yeah.
And is it duplicate? Am I crazy, or is this duplicate? Oh shoot! They duplicated it.
You sure?
No, yeah, this is crazy. Let me see this. I'm gonna reload it just so there's nothing broken. Whoa, I don't. Yeah, no, bro. Like they have a duplicate.
Yeah, we might want to send him a nice memo if that's the case.
I know, because to me, right, the second you're bragging all like this and you got the only leader in Q4, it's like, heck yeah, I want to learn more, and I can't go into it. I think that's a gap for sure.
Yeah. You want to check out some other sections of the website?
Yeah, 100%. I think what I'd love to see is, what does the request a meeting do? So this is right. This is your moment of leverage, in my opinion, right? This is your moment of activation. You can lower the customer acquisition cost. You can create scale from all your other channels. Channels that aren't profitable can become profitable. Well, what do you think about this? Anything you would want to do different here?
I mean, it's pretty typical. I think the trend we're moving towards is, as I mentioned before, having this as frictionless as possible, at the same time striking the balance of aggregating data. So I prefer more of a progressive form in order to capture the email right away, so that you have adequate abandoned cart information. Because, you know, even 6 fields, 7 fields might even be too many for very busy people these days. So I would probably just start out with 3 fields, and then along the way progressively aggregate that information so that you can qualify them as best as you can.
I like that, Alan. I think it's cool. I've never seen anyone do this before. This is actually really cool to me. I think this is really unique, preferred time and date, because that allows you to prioritize, right? If you're getting a lot of requests at scale, this is a cool filtering. Now, my big issue with it, though, to be completely honest, is this language to me. So when you say request a meeting, it's very much like, we'll see if you fit us. And it's very pretentious in my mind. I know it sounds silly, but it's like, I've never found request a meeting to work as a CTA or request a demo or anything that has request in it, because it makes it feel like you might not get it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And I'm actually perplexed a little bit by the date range. I don't know why they can't just have a calendar, like one calendar reservation mechanism, because I'm trying to think about how this flow goes into an SDR eventually. Do they have to like browse to their calendar and then collaborate with the other SDRs to see who's available? Is it around Robin? It's just that's
true. They say I want this time, but you're not available at that time. Right. Now you've already created a bad experience to a certain extent, right?
Bad experience for both stakeholders in this process. So that's a little weird. Yeah, I totally agree with the CTA language. Request a meeting does potentially come across a little snobby or condescending. Trying to be more cognizant and mindful of a conversational tone is important. So even just saying something like, let's chat, let's connect. It already yep. establishes a relationship. So psychologically, there are benefits to that if it's mutual sounding.
I agree. And like, I would want him to see something like this, right? Like some copy that says like, see how the top orgs save, you know, 30% in tickets or something like that. And then talk about all the value. Cause I don't think they're selling the demo. I mean, they're using this to be like, oh, already a customer in the wrong spot. You know what I mean? Like, I think they really need to sell the crap out of this meeting. And there's a ton of value. Like if I were them, I can make a ton of improvement on all my campaigns right in this screen, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. I think if they outline or provided specific bullet points as to the exact elements of value that they would receive in a meeting, I think that would probably increase conversions on this form, on this page.
100%. Let's go to events since that's kind of like your world right now. What do you think about the way they're doing events and anything you want to see different?
It's pretty standard. I would be more interested to learn how they're actually marketing this and what channels they're using to get people to attend. This page alone doesn't really do anything for me. I imagine that they leverage multiple paid and organic channels to maximize attendees to their events. Can you click on one of them, actually? I'm curious what they're landing on.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, so yeah. It's pretty standard.
I don't love it. It's pretty normal, but the reason I don't love it is more because register for our upcoming and on-demand events, but how would I like, none of these appear to be upcoming. See what I'm saying? Because this was originally broadcasted. So their latest event was already done. So like this to me, if you're going to like this valuable real estate is what I'm trying to explain. Like this is very valuable real estate on your website. I don't know why you wouldn't just put this underneath your resource hub. But I don't understand where the resource hub is, right? We have these badass reports from every single solitary, like reputable company, but I can't get the darn things. Oh, it says here. But where
probably
am
gotta
I?
Pay, you got to pay a couple $100 for a Forrester report. Or no, are they available for free? Download report? Is that another game?
Yeah, but they're not in the menu. You get what I'm saying? So like, how do I get to their most valuable asset, right? As a marketer, we understand this is our most valuable piece of content. But instead, we have events and our blog.
Yeah, I think the navigation architecture is a bit off. So instead of teasing out blog and events as separate, they should have just created a resources, insights, knowledge section that just aggregates, you know, their learning area of the website. So it seems like it's a lost opportunity by segmenting it out in the navigation.
This is a great hub. I think this is really cool. I might even add a filter maybe up here so users can get to things faster because it seems like, right, this is for social listening. And then let's see if they integrate it, right? So if we go over to like, and this is the other thing, Alan, when people start to label things like, okay, if I wanted a social listening platform, which is what they do right here, according to Forrester,
right?
Which product is that?
Yeah, look, I've been in marketing for a long time and some of these terms coined together, I'm just not familiar with. And maybe I'm old and not as progressive as some of the other marketers you've had on the show, but modern care to me just doesn't strike a chord. I just don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. And that's a poor experience.
I would love for them to do this. So I don't see, like, here's the thing. I get what they're trying to do. I respect it. I think it's awesome that you're going to create your own brand name for things. I just want you to add another line that says social listening. You know what I'm saying? Just give me a second line so that as a user, I self-identify with the category you already exist in. That doesn't mean you can't create your own category. You can't push for things. I just think I'd really prefer to know what is modern research in language I understand. And I think they do talk about that like somewhere.
Yeah, but it requires you to dig a little bit to find that information. And you know, if somebody goes to Sprinklr, no matter how they got there, there's a problem that the buyer's trying to solve. And by attaching these fancy names that don't carry any brand weight to it at this point, it's just a distraction instead of tell me how you're going to solve my problem from the get-go.
Yep. No, 100%. And if I was doing SEO, by the way, I couldn't do an H1 tag that targeted the existing demand, right? Because you can't create existing demand for a product you own, right? Modern care is you, but what is the category of modern care? I can't add that as an H1 or a title tag. Do you see what I'm saying? To then drive organic demand.
It would be interesting if you did a search right now for modern care and see what pops up.
Yeah, because that reminds me of like
find out.
Care. Yeah, let's see. Modern health, mental health care, cool. We just onboarded stuff like this to Directive. Yeah. And then Sprinklr comes here, but their title tags are stuffed, right? Customer care platform, customer service, Sprinklr, modern care. That's really not a best practice in the SEO world for sure. Yeah. So, yeah, I think there's some gaps there, but I do love this chat with us. Have you ever done like only chat with us on a product page? I find that pretty unique.
Is it automated or do you get a person?
You go to their platform, which is cool, right? They're eating their own dog food, but
oh, okay, they practice what they preach. I like that.
Let me see though. Provide us. Okay, and then I got to play the game. So it's not all bad. They're using like, you know, all the chat players are kind of using a shared API. I used to work with one of them. But I guess my last question for you, Alan, and I'm actually curious about, I am of the belief that you should use this space to have a top of funnel call to action and a bottom of funnel call to action.
Yeah, totally.
Yet I always see login. I don't understand it because this to me is like throw login in the footer. What's the logic in a SaaS company internally, since I'm not on that side of the table? Why do we always see logins up here when we could just throw it in the footer and then we could use top of funnel and bottom of funnel here? What's going on?
So I think those are two different conversations. Firstly, I agree with you. I think there's an opportunity to have two buttons, two call to actions, top of funnel, bottom of funnel. And it's a lost opportunity if you don't do that. So I agree with you there. The login button, there's probably a better place to put it. Yes, it's valuable real estate to put it up in the navigation. And they're probably just trying to serve their current customer so they can find it as quickly as possible. So I don't know. I think it takes up valuable real estate that can be used in a better way when it comes to customer acquisition. But where else? So you would put the login in the footer. So you would require people to come and then scroll all the way to the bottom to enter the platform.
Well, because I would assume that most people would just have it already saved to their computer.
Right. That's true, too. You would just bookmark the actual URL of the platform.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Or once again, I would kind of take my content here. I'd keep customer stories because I love like this kind of content. I think it's really valuable. But I mean, I can the about us fine. I do resources, though, put events and blog under resources. And then maybe bring login in here, over here, a part of this menu if I wanted to. Or I could use like some space to the left to request a meeting. And then, I don't know, I feel like request a meeting is like such a friction-filled CTA that maybe even that like chat with us, I'd experiment with like this chat with us. Let's bring that up here and keep that as a funnel. Maybe download Forrester report. I would probably put as like a banner. See how it's like here, but it's only on the homepage. Right. I would bring this banner to the top and have it on every page since it's my most valuable asset. Things like that.
There's not enough contrast for that CTA to really stand out. It kind of get lost in the mix.
100%. 100%. So, Alan, you're the CMO of Sprinklr. Let's wrap this up. What's the thing you're going to focus on to kind of elevate them to the next level, right? You show up and you're now the CMO of Sprinklr. Congratulations. Not that you're looking for a job, but what would you do?
I think they need to focus a little more. I think they need to hone in on who their personas are and just convey in a really concise fashion what challenges, what problems they're solving, or what added value can they deliver for the customers. Because just taking a glance at this, it looks a little too abstract or even ambiguous. And I think it requires you to do a little bit of more work and digging, which, as we all know, we're all busy and we don't have time to do that work. So just give me the value above the fold. Tell me what you do and be less kind of cheeky or less cerebral in their approach with respect to that chart that they included.
I love that, Alan. I genuinely couldn't agree more. I think when they say things like the only platform for all digital customer experiences purpose built to break down silos, they say nothing. And it doesn't feel like the purpose of this website is to generate leads. I know that sounds silly. It just doesn't come across that way because when you do this, I'm overwhelmed, if that makes sense. And yeah. I think I think it does well in a pitch deck. I think it does well right. for an AE. I'm not sure if it does well if I'm a social media manager who just got hired at a large brand and they have a crappy communication system. I'm not sure if I feel confident that I could like use Sprinklr. It feels almost beyond me. And I think they need to make themselves a little bit more accessible and then right. just, yeah, and organize themselves a little. Like, it's a little silly. Like, the menu structure is one of the worst I've actually, in all transparency, seen. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And so I think they could do a couple, like, they have world-class content. The reports are amazing. Like, everything's here. I love the friction, the demo videos available. Like, they're doing, like, everything right, but then making themselves aloof, it feels like. Everything, right. I don't get it. You know, like, what the heck is modern advertising in a customer experience platform? Like, what's the connection? Are you a CDP? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's research? What's like, and then you have the CXM. Is that different than all the other things? So I just want to simplify this. I want to use known language. I want to be approachable, and they're already being approachable except in their copy. And so I think we're right there, tighten a couple things up and we go to the next level. So yeah, man, this was fun. Any Sounds final good. Thoughts?
Yeah, look, the main takeaway that I have for Sprinklr or in general is just tell the story, right? Use your website as a powerful tool to tell a story about what value you give as an organization to your customers. And fundamentally, you have to have that mindset when you're designing a website.
Yeah, I love that, Alan. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. If anyone wants to follow along your journey, what's the best way for them to do that?
Catch me on LinkedIn. That's where you'll find me most of the time.
Okay. 100%. Well, thank you so much, Alan, for being on the show. And that is SaaS Marketing Makeover. And thank you, Sprinklr, for being our muse. And everybody, have a great day. Thanks, guys.